Reading from the third chapter of John, first 21 verses. This chapter begins with speaking about Nicodemus. I don't know why he came at night. It says he did, but he came to Jesus. He also came at the burial in John 19. It says, there came also Nicodemus, which at the first time came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So he found a friend in Jesus, it seems. Reading from John 3, verse 21 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Next verse is verse 16. Let's say that together. We can say that by memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So, kneeling, shall we pray.
We bring you greetings this evening in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. I was wondering if I could ask a favor of you as you move up front here, little Father. I'm a little lonely up here. Would you mind doing that as we sing a verse of a hymn? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. The Lord has laid in my heart a sermon about Nicodemus and about our walk with the Lord, and titled the sermon, Signs of a Born Again Person. And let us look tonight at Nicodemus' life. It says in verses 1 and 2, there was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. What did Nicodemus have? He had knowledge, first of all, about God. We may have knowledge about God, but do we have the assurance of being a child of God? That's a serious thing. Secondly, he was familiar with the scriptures, but Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Evidently, he was not born again. Why? The possession of the Bible does not give us a new birth, but rather the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He is the one who is revealed to us in the Bible. Are you sure? Am I sure that we are born again? That's the key question this evening. I feel that most of us are, but I think sometimes we better be sure that we are born again. Thirdly, he was a member of the synagogue. He had a regular place in worship, but yet he was not born again. What about us today? We've been baptized. We attend services. We try to live a good life. But the question is Jesus Christ my personal Savior? Or am I just a church member? I believe the shocking fact, many church members will go to hell unless they experience a new birth. The Bible gives us clear signs of a born-again person. Let us look at some of them signs. The first sign we want to look at is as a Christian, we need to have the joy of the Lord if we are born again. Your assurance of salvation is the first joyous result of a new birth. A wonderful feeling of peace. Is there peace in your life as you serve the Lord and as you live for him? In Acts 2, 37 to 39, we have Peter preaching that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he told them very plainly, they said, what must we do to be saved? And he told them very plainly, they need to be baptized and repent of their sins. And they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'd like to turn now to 1 John 5:13. I think these are some scriptures, if we have questions about our salvation, may help us to make sure we believe God's word and accept God's word as the final authority. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I can't fully understand it, but God loved me, and he gave his Son to take care of my sins, to die that I could be born again. Do I have the joy of the Lord in my life? Is it evident? Secondly, the new life becomes visible. When a person is born again, it cannot remain a secret. Matthew 7:16 says, you shall know them by their fruit. If we are a Christian by name only, then we will be embarrassed to tell others about Jesus. Are we ashamed to let anybody know that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, and I'm going to live for him? At 9 years of age, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I had a friend at school, we were good friends. In fact, we sat, they had the desk, a double desk when I went to school. And him and I sat together in the same desk for 6 years, so we were close friends. I told him that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. But you know what I said to him? Don't tell anybody else. That was weak faith. I was ashamed to let others know. Praise the Lord, I'm not ashamed of that now. If we are Christian by name only, then we will be embarrassed to tell others who Jesus is. Jesus is my personal Savior. It is dangerous to rely on church membership. Church membership is important, but our personal relationship with Jesus is what is most important above everything else. What is the most important sign of life in a newborn child? It cries. If it does not cry after it's born, that baby's dead. Just so when we were burdened with the guilt, headed for hell, and now are born again, I believe there should be tears of joy. You know, we live in a time with a lack of serious weeping. How often have we wept for the sins we have committed against God? How many times have we wept for others who need the Lord? I spilled that water. What does our face reveal to those about us? You go back to John, Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received it not. The Jewish people did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Are we thankful tonight that he has received us? We are his children, and we can be faithful to him. Do we have a new life, or are we a poor witness in our walk with God? The third sign is our prayer life. Just as we are only alive if we breathe, just so we are alive spiritually, we are not alive spiritually if we do not pray. How is your witness as a praying person? Someone has said that prayer is the breath of the soul. It is an expression of a godly life, and it is contact with the living God. Are we today taking advantage to have contact with the Almighty? Oh, how we need to have contact with the Almighty on a daily basis. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that. One writer has said, whether a church is a living one or has been born again, members can be seen not by the size of the congregation at the Sunday service, but by the number of praying believers at the prayer meeting. Unquote. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, those who do not have the Spirit of God also lack the Spirit of God. Do I have the Spirit of God? Am I diligent in my prayer life as God would have me to be? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, Peter and John had had healed this man, and then they were questioned by the authorities. It says, and he called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men gathered glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, in whom this miracle was of healing was shrewd. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And take notice of verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They were glorifying God. And a question we need to ask ourselves tonight, are lost souls going to their grave lost because of our lack of sincere praying? How many souls are needing your prayers and needing my prayers? Is our praying a sign of our new birth? Number four sign, a hunger for the Word of God. Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. If I do not have a hunger for God's Word, I need to ask myself if I have been born again. Is the Word of God your nourishment, or are you a spiritual starvation diet? Without the Word of God, we cannot sustain spiritual life. In John 5:39, another scripture I think we should have set in our mind, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You know, some people say, well, we go to church every Sunday and we worship the Lord. And that's enough. If you only eat one meal a week and that's all you eat, are you going to grow physically? Going to be healthy physically? You surely are not. And that's the way it is with God's Word. The absence of these signs reveal that our appetite reaches out for other things in life rather than knowing God's will. The direction in which our appetites point is an indicator of the extent to which we really have Jesus. When we've really been born again, we were in the world, Jesus said, but we should not be of the world. Many professing Christians, it appears as though they want to stay and live as close to the world as possible. But if we are filled with the Spirit and a child of God, we want to live as close to the Lord as we can and according to His Word. Which are you? Which am I? In James 4:4 is another promise of Scripture that we should have riveted in our mind. James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Am I an enemy of God because of my friendship with the world? A very sobering question. If we desire true peace, we need to go to God's Word and accept His Word as the final authority. The words of this hymn speak to my heart so dear. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine, thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Is that the case of your life? Sign number five. You will suffer adversity. We who are born again will be attacked by Satan. He hates God. And if we try to serve him, he hates us, and he'll do all he can to hinder us and to cause us to sin. Many times he attacks our minds, gets us to be fearful and fretting and doubt God and doubt God's word. He'll tell us, you're a sad example of a Christian. You profess to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, but you're a poor Christian. He will try to get us to live a sinful, lustful life. He will cause misunderstandings among fellow Christians. Many ways he's going to attack us. It's very evident. But God knows our needs. He has provided the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6 that we need to put on. We will be tempted within, we'll be tempted without. This is a sign that we are born again. John 16 and verse 33, another verse we need to keep in mind. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. A reminder that we can be victorious through Jesus Christ, because he has gained the victory. Prayer is one of the most difficult duties in the battle we have. How many times have you decided to pray for a period of time and you got sleepy, or other things come into our minds? Satan knows that if we're born again Christians and we're earnest and we're continuing in prayer for souls, that we may win, that the Holy Spirit may win them to the Lord. And he's going to do everything he can to hinder our prayer life. He doesn't want God to receive any glory or any honor and love which we need to give to him. And I believe that's why so many of us lack praying as we should for lost souls. D.L. Moody tells about a black Christian who was a slave. And one day he was helping his master on a duck hunt. The master was not a Christian, and he sort of was irritated by this quiet, pious Christian. And one day, the owner made fun of his slave. He was telling him that you told me that Jesus loves you and you were his child, but you're tempted daily by Satan. And why is this? He said, you say I'm not a Christian, but he said he doesn't tempt me. The Christian prayed for wisdom to answer that question. A flock of ducks just flew over. The minister fired and several birds were hit and fell to the ground. Hurry, the master said. Run, get the ducks that are still alive before they get away. Lead the dead ones. They're mine already. Master, you ask me why the devil is tempting me and not you. You just order me to do what the devil tells his helpers. Hurry up, get the ones who are still alive. The dead ones are mine already. If you're being tempted, it is a sign that you're alive spiritually. Keep on seeking the Lord's face and trusting him. We look now at sign number six, victory over many temptations and sins. When Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished, he became the victor over Satan, sin, and death. And because of that, all Christians can overcome Satan's attack. We can have victory, but we need to sell out to God and be under his authority. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. So then, let's go back to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but after the Spirit. But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify, kill, get rid of the deeds of the body, we shall live. Oh, how that important that is, that we're living under the Spirit's power. It's so important that when we come to Jesus and accept him as our Savior, how hopeless we were, and we need to accept the death and resurrection of Jesus. We need to die to self and be alive unto God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When we come to Jesus to answer his call, O Lord, I come just as I am to seek salvation through your blood. I believe then we can shout, as the Apostle Paul did in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us praise the holy name because he giveth us victory. Do you have that victory in your life tonight? Do you have the joy of the Lord? That brings us to sign number 7. We wait with joy for the return of the Lord. We were saved from sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. We should have a longing for the Lord to come. Do we have that longing as we should? Are we too busy with the cares of life? Are we blessed in so many ways that we like it here? We don't want Jesus to come. We better be careful. Am I ready to meet the Lord? Jesus said in Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The Lord is talking about the signs we are seeing today. And I think one of the strongest signs is how everyone hates Israel, God's anointed people. And we can see on every hand it's going to come to a head before too long. Are we looking for the Lord to come? Are we too distracted by too many other things? I believe that there's many suffering Christians over the world in many nations who are calling out that scripture in Revelation 22 and 24, even so, come Lord Jesus. How about us? Are we calling and longing for him to come? Or when we think he may be coming, is it fear in our life because we're not ready to meet him? Very sobering thought. Biblical prophecies are being fulfilled before our very eyes. At any moment, we can expect Jesus to appear. There's about 300 verses in the New Testament that tell about his glorious event. Are you waiting for him joyfully, or does your heart beat more anxiously at the thought that he may come today? Are you fearful? It depends on our relationship with God. In Matthew 25, verses 6 to 12, we have the account of the ones who came and had their lamps trimmed, but some of them did not, and they were left behind. And I believe Nicodemus was one of them that was not ready to meet the Lord until he was with Jesus, and he obeyed the very challenge that Jesus gave him. Except a man be born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus speaking, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our Savior and our Lord. We need to see how wretched Our present life is in the sight of God without the Spirit of God controlling our life. How much God has loved us. Let us look again at his great sacrifice. He became sin. He took my place. Jesus expressed the measure of God's love with one little word. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are we thankful for that love? Are we living a life that's dedicated to his cause? In John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe in his name? Are you just a church member? Are you born again? That's a very sobering question, and one of these days we'll have to answer that directly to God. He knows our hearts. Let's look as a reminder of the signs of a born-again person who have joy in our life. The new life will become visible. Our prayer life will be very noticeable. We'll have a hunger for the Word of God. We will suffer adversity. We will have victory over temptations and sins. And we will wait with joy for the return of the Lord. As I look out at the sky sometimes and see an opening in the clouds, I just long for the time when the Lord shall appear and take us to be with him. Loved ones, that's going to be joyful. That's going to be an experience that I want each one of us to experience. But it's so important that we're born again in order to do that. In closing, I'd like to turn back to 1 John. Maybe open your Bibles to that. I got this from a Daily Bread. Evidence of genuine faith. The writer says, I received Jesus as my Savior and Lord 50 years ago. For several years after I became a Christian, I wondered if I was truly saved because my conversion experience seemed uneventful compared to others. But as I study God's word, I receive assurance of a salvation. I read about the characteristics of a true believer in 1 John. It starts with a desire to be honest. As we fellowship with God, we acknowledge that we are sinful. Chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, there's a lot of people today who say, I'm not really a bad person. I live a good life. But they have not humbled themselves and confessed their sin. They have not been honest. And that leads to confession of our Lord in chapter 9, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a precious verse to me. I need that daily. As we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And then in 1 John 9:11, he that saith he is in the light, and he that his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. It's important that it says in John 13:35, by this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one for another. How is your love, you see me, for other brethren and sisters in the Lord? And then Philippians 1:6, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But the only way we receive that is being submissive. And how am I tonight? Am I submissive to God's power in my life? Have I turned my life over to him? Have I been looking to serve him faithfully until he calls me home. That's my prayer and our desire for each one. May God bless you.
Let's all stand for prayer.